Well, hello everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to it's time for more Injury Funding Podcast. For all who want to learn about legal funding and its significance in personal injury, workers' compensation, trucking injuries, auto accidents, medical malpractice, premises liability, sports and activity-related injuries, consumer-related products, slip and fall injuries, traumatic brain injuries, motorcycle injuries, and so many other types of law practice domains. I'm your host, Laura, CEO and founder of More Injury Funding, the legal funding counselors with passion for law, medicine, legal funding, and heart for all suffering individuals. At More Injury Funding, we offer funding services to your clients who find themselves in a difficult financial situation after they've been injured. Those services include cash advances, medical treatment funding, post-settlement financing, case funding, and attorney financing. More Injury Funding is a sponsor, associate, or business partner of the Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys, Sandy Springs Bar Association, Georgia Association of Paralegals, and Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. In today's episode, we chat with Michael Mobies, a lawyer, father, retired lieutenant colonel, who served as a medical service corps officer with the U.S. Air Force's reserve for 23 years. Before retiring in 2020, attorney Mobies enjoys traveling. He loves writing and spending time with his wonderful three children and beautiful wife. Michael and his family are active members of Bucket Church and support several local charities, including Wellspring Living, the Sandy Springs Conservancy, and the Anti-Defamation League. Michael was selected to the Glass Leadership Institute for the ADL. Mr. Mobi serves as the secretary for the Sandy Springs Bar Association and treasurer of Act 3 Playhouse. He was chosen for Leadership Sandy Springs in 2013, becoming an LSS ambassador in 2014. Today, Michael will share with us his experience with injured workers and motorcycle riders throughout Georgia, in addition to the disabled veterans nationwide. Attorney Colonel Mobies has experience of multiple combat deployments and is an avid motorcycle rider himself. His personal life experience has a direct effect on how he helps veterans and riders. You, my dear viewer and listener, will be able to learn about Mr. Mobies' multifaceted experience with workers' compensation practice of law, as he has 5 years of defense experience. Michael will cover today three law topics, and those being why someone might need an attorney for help with a VA disability appeal. Then we'll cover what are your rights as a client, as an injured person, when an insurer wants to control medical care in workers' compensation case. And the third topic we'll cover today is, can you trust a nurse case manager when you have a workers' compensation claim? And at the end, we'll have a fun pop-up question for Michael. Michael, welcome to It's Time for More Injury Funding today. Please tell us about why someone might need an attorney for help with the VA disability appeal.
Sure. There are usually three reasons why someone is calling me for help with their VA disability appeal. So initially, people file claims on their own. It's an online system, and it's pretty intuitive, but you can get a local veteran service organization charity to help you with initial filing. But they'll call me to help when it's time to try to appeal it. And generally, they're unhappy at one of three things. One is whether or not they're service-connected for whatever the ailment or issue is that they have. Two is the effective date, meaning the VA maybe said, well, your effective date, meaning the start of your benefits or your disability are, you know, February of 2023, and they're like, no, this started 10 years ago. And that can make a difference of a huge amount of money, of course, if you're talking about an earlier effective date. And then the third is the disability percentage itself. So a great example of this is I had a man who called me, and sort of a sad story, but he was he had sexual trauma that occurred when he was in tech school, technical school, for his initial training with the Air Force at Shepherd Air Force Base, a place where I went for several months back in 1999, I guess. But anyway, he was on Social Security disability, hadn't worked for a long time. I mean, this had totally wrecked his life in essence. And the VA denied it because his EPRs or performance reports showed that his work did not suffer after this horrible incident. Well, a lot of men I've seen throw themselves into their jobs after some kind of traumatic incident instead of withdrawing. It's one or the other, it's one extreme or the other. And this gentleman really just spent all his time trying to do a good job. And so his EPRs reflected that he was a better troop after this happened instead of worse. So the military said, eh, this never happened. And of course he didn't report it when it first happened because he was ashamed. Anyway, what we did is we helped him first get service connected. We had to appeal it to a couple of levels up. So to the regional office at the VA office in Decatur here in Georgia, and then the Board of Veterans Appeals, which is in DC, but we do it by video, which as Laura said, I can handle VA claims all over the country because all these hearings are by video. So anyway, we finally got service connected. They finally believed us that this incident had happened and he had to describe it and his wife talked and all that too. But they gave him a 50% rating. I'm like, this man hasn't been able to work in a couple of decades. It's been on Social Security disability. And so we appealed it for the higher rating. And then eventually he got that. So he got the 100% after he got the service connected. And it took a few years, mainly just a waiting on the VA to schedule things for us. But once he did, it was over $300,000 of back benefits. So it was obviously very worth the issue. It's very worth the time and the energy that we put into his claim. Because I mean, that totally changed his life where he can get psychiatric help and other accommodation and just, you know, living expenses, right? Because Social Security disability is not all that much money. So VA disability is a lot more if you're 100%.
Unfortunately. Well, that's a very interesting story. Thanks so much for explaining it so thoroughly. Michael, what can you tell us a little bit what plaintiff's rights are when an insurer wants to control medical care and workers' compensation claim?
Sure. I think Laura said this earlier, but most of my career has been spent practicing workers' compensation law. So I started on the defense side, meaning I was on the insurance defense side representing employers and insurers for about 5 years. And then I opened my own firm in 2009. April 6th of 2009, 14 years ago, representing injured workers. So, which I've really enjoyed. And sort of a fallacy in the Georgia workers' compensation narrative is that, well, the employer controls medical. You know, judges say it, defense lawyers always say it. That's not really true. They don't control medical. They have the right to dictate what panel of physicians looks like and who's on it. And I have a copy down the hall of my own panel of physicians for workers' comp insurance for my law office. But, you know, they have some input as to who the doctors are on that panel. And then there are some statutes that dictate what that panel looks like. It has to have at least six doctors. At least one has to be an orthopedic surgeon or physician, and no more than two can be an industrial clinic, and they want you to have at least one who is a minority. So that's pretty easy in a big city like Atlanta, but you go an hour or two south of here and it's not so easy. But if the panel's invalid, then the injured worker can pick whom he treats with, right? Or whom she treats with. So they don't get to control medical, and I've you know, actually brought this up in court a few times, like nowhere in the statute doesn't say the employer gets to control medical. So they just get to dictate who's on that initial panel. But from there, there are options. And honestly, I feel like that's my greatest value add as an advocate for someone who's got a work injury, is kind of helping them navigate the medical. Because most people, I mean, you know, a lot of physicians because you do medical funding, but most people don't, right? The guys I represent who are Amazon warehouse workers, or even a nurse who blows out her back, which is one of my top client categories, is nurses or LPNs or med techs who have back injuries. I've signed up two just yesterday. And they may know the doctors they work with, but maybe those physicians don't take workers' comp, right? And depending on the clinic, if it's an OBGYN, obviously those doctors aren't going to do orthopedic surgery. So I help them navigate because, you know, having done this almost 20 years, I know, you know, not only who the skilled physicians are medically, but also who the ones are who are unfortunately aligned with the insurance companies and always going to say, oh, this issue was pre-existing, or this issue is not surgical or not serious, when we know it is, and release people back to work, normal duty without any restrictions when they're in agony. And their pain level's at 8 or 9 out of 10. So,
that's excruciating.
So, yeah, and you know, like I said, the adjusters and sometimes the defense attorneys want to argue, well, we get to control the medical. We get to dictate every doctor they see. That's not really true. So,
very interesting. Thank you, Michael. That's very deep insight into this topic. I really appreciate it. Good to know. Would you explain how you can trust a nurse case manager when you have a workers' compensation claim?
Yeah, I don't trust them. That's the answer. No. And this was something that, you know, if someone is catastrophically injured, meaning they're never going to work again, basically, then they have a rehabilitation or nurse case manager assigned to them to help them navigate their medical treatment, their therapy, et cetera. But in the last few years, insurance companies have been bringing on nurse case managers who are supposed to, well, I think their job is to get people off workers' comp benefits in essence. So, and it's disingenuous and it's frustrating because a layperson is very trusting of a nurse because normally a nurse is there to help. Even sometimes even more so the doctor. Sometimes they're nicer. Like I know when my wife delivered our three children, the nurses we worked with were way nicer than the physicians we were interacting with because they're just in a hurry to get in and out. And so the bedside manner is better. So anyway, it's unfortunate, but they sort of legislated this through a board rule not that long ago where these nurse case managers who are employed by the insurance company, either directly or indirectly, can go with a client to the medical treatment, and they're sort of whispering in the doctor's ears that, you know, this person's not hurt as badly as they say they are. This person's capable of returning to work. They don't need restrictions. They don't need the surgery that you think he needs, et cetera. And like I said, it's frustrating. And so they're supposed to give us 10 days notice if they want to meet with the doctor. I tell my clients, like, I would tell that person not to come in with you. And you have that right. But I've seen these nurses lie to my clients before they are represented by me and say, like, no, I'm absolutely allowed to go in with the doctor and go to your visit with you. And again, that's not true. And they can meet with the doctor separately afterwards. But, you know, the patient has a right to be there, or I can be there. You know, and mm-hmm. I've seen them try to say you're not allowed in. That's not true either. Mm-hmm. So the reason they have to give 10 days notice to me before they have one of these meetings is so that we can attend. So, yeah, I've written about this on my website. It's a lot of people call me and ask questions about a couple of the posts I've written on my website about this issue. And when I first wrote about it, it was before they made a board rule 200.2 that sort of mandated their involvement. Before, it was all voluntary. You could just say, no, I don't want you involved in our case. Now they can be, but that board rule sort of says what they can and can't do.
Well, so. that's super exciting. And by the way, Michael is a great writer, so you must visit his website. I'll give you the details in a second. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for this great educational story and an amazing learning experience for me and our viewers and listeners today. And the story that you shared in this law practice arena of injured workers and motorcycle riders throughout Georgia, in addition to the disabled veterans nationwide. Can you please tell us a little bit how to reach you if anyone gets injured?
Sure. On pretty much all the social media channels, I'm at Call Colonel Mo. So like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook. What else are there?
Yeah, I think you Twitter. Yes, all of it.
And, you know, this is Colonel Mo. So, like Laura said, I retired as Lieutenant Colonel from the Medical Service Corps in 2020. So after 23 years. And so, you know, all my VA clients, they call me Colonel Mo, which is kind of funny. Not so much the workers' comp or the mm-hmm. bikers, I think our phone number is 833-MOLAW1. Our website is molaw.com or callmo.com will take you directly to the motorcycle injury page. Otherwise you can just navigate molaw.com to get information on workers' comp, VA disability, or biker injuries.
Okay, awesome. And I'll make sure to add these this information for how to reach Michael in the comments in our podcast. And that's really great. Thank you, Michael, so much again for being my special guest. That's time for more Injury Finding Podcast. Sure. And before we conclude today, I have one last question, one little pop question, as promised.
Oh, boy.
So that question is, one question no one ever asked you before, but you always wanted to answer. What would that be?
Well, a question I'd love to be asked and answer is, how did you make $1 billion last year?
But I love it. So I'll ask you. At the end of the year, I'll be sure to ask that question.
Right. But with three children and lots of clients, I pretty much ask every question I could possibly think of every day.
I love it. That's great. Thank you. That was attorney Michael Mobis with Mobis Law. And I want to thank you all again for watching and listening to this wonderful story today. For more tips and tricks on legal funding and personal injury law or workers' compensation law related topics, follow me, like and subscribe at More Injury Funding. And it's time for More Injury Funding podcast on Spotify, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Yelp, Google Business Profile, and my website at www.morewith2osinjuryfunding.com. I can't wait to see you, my dear listeners and viewers, again at my next upcoming episode. So tune in soon for our next guest. And until then, be well.
Thank you.